It is good to see everyone today on this Sunday, April the 7th, 2019. And today at the Wayne County Bible Center here in Waynesboro, Tennessee, we are going to be participating in the Lord's Supper as our focus is on the cross. We have been looking at Jesus Christ on the cross. And we have been staring intently at Him there for the last 3 weeks. And we have been looking at the crown of thorns that was placed on His head, and how it represented the curse of sin in the world. And the Lord took my curse upon Himself on that cross. Yes. He faced the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the punishment of God for my sin. Yes. 2,000 years ago on that cross, and we studied it. We saw how the curse was pronounced by God in the Garden of Eden when man sinned. And we also saw that when the Lord comes back and when all is done and all is finished, there is going to be no more curse. And we're never going to die again, and we're never going to be sick, and we're never going to have pain or fear or never hate or envy or any of these things. And we will dwell in righteousness in the presence of the Lord. And so today, our focus goes from the crown of thorns to two simple entities, two parts of our Lord Jesus as He was on the cross. And the first is His blood. The blood of Jesus on the cross. And then the second is His body. The body of His death on the cross. He says, "Take, drink, this is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And then He says, "Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you." Paul tells us, hopefully we'll look at it, he says, when you come together to partake of the Lord's Supper. So this is the second public ordinance. I believe only two ordinances given to the New Testament church. Public ordinances. The first one is baptism, where you publicly tell the world you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And the second one is the Lord's Supper, where you publicly tell the world, I am a baptized believer in Jesus who was saved. Saved by what He did on the cross. And so we look back. The Bible's telling us never forget what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and always look forward to His return. Colossians chapter 1, these verses grabbed me several weeks ago. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. Jesus Christ, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us, He has transported us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So what happens when I get saved? When I get saved, according to this verse, I am moved from one position or one place or one state to another. So I want you to understand that. It says that He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has transported us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So I've been moved from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of God. I've been moved from being a child of disobedience to becoming a child of God. I've been moved from condemnation to justification. I've been moved from depart from me, I never knew you, to enter in my good and faithful servant. I have been moved from the fires and torment of hell to the joy and the glory and the undefined beauty of heaven. I have been moved from being lost to being saved, and the place where that happens is the cross. Amen. Yeah. It's not about me being a good person. It's not about me going to church. It's not about any of those things. It's all in where I stand on the cross. And the event of the cross and the action of the cross has the power to move me from one place to another. Eternal. It was a temporal event that happened here on earth. And we'll look at this next week. But it was the eternal spirit of the Son of God that won me, purchased me, this salvation. We're going to have to get an outline here in a moment. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he hath transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I mean, you can just read. There's power in reading it. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Jesus should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. The blood of his cross. That's the title of the message. The blood of his cross. Would you say that with me? The blood of his cross. The blood of his cross does something. It makes peace. It reconciles us to God. All things in heaven, all things in earth. Verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath God reconciled into a personal loving relationship with Jesus Christ. In the body of his flesh through death. In the body of his flesh through death. The body of his death through the cross. So we've got the blood of Jesus on the cross and the body of his death on the cross. That's what we're going to focus on today. Let's go to Jesus. Father, as I call on you, I just ask for your guidance. Father, there is so much in this outline, and I'm nervous. I don't know what to leave in and leave out. So I need your Holy Spirit to take over. And I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. I pray for a cleansing. I pray, Lord Jesus, if you need to add something to the outline that's not in there, that I'll be open to let you do that. And so, Father, I pray right now for your Holy Spirit to take over. Father, forgive me of daily sin. I've confessed them to you. Wash me in your precious blood. I pray for an anointing body, soul, and spirit to be used of you. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be our teacher. Lord Jesus, just take over. Just do your work and speak to hearts. Speak to us all. In your name, Lord Jesus, amen. All right, look at what the scripture says. It says in verse 20 that he has made peace with us through his body and blood. He has reconciled all humanity to himself. In verse 21, he said, we were alienated from God. We were an enemy of God. And now we are brought into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by what he did on the cross and by us accepting and committing to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Paul says we don't do anything but preach Christ and him crucified. Ephesians 2 verse 13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometime afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Would you say that with me? By the blood of Christ. Say it again, by the blood of Christ. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. And what I want you to understand is, we were far off. We were lost. We were without Jesus. And we have been brought nigh. We've been brought near. We've been brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ by the blood of the cross. Not by being a Baptist. Not by being a Catholic. Not by being a good person. But by the blood of the cross. And we'll see why in a moment. Verse 14, for he is our peace. I'm not at enmity with God. He is my peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between Jew and Gentile. So everybody between Jew and Gentile can come to Jesus only through the blood of Jesus, having abolished in his flesh. All right? Would you say that with me? In his flesh. In his flesh. We're going to do that in a moment. You're going to take that bread that represents the flesh of Christ. Yeah. What did he abolish in the flesh? The enmity. What was the enemy? The law of commandments. Why is the law of commandments my enemy? Because I break almost all of them. Yeah. That's my downfall. The commandments. Matter of fact, I've broken them all. Judy, how many commandments are they? It always slips my mind. Is it four? 413? What is it? 613. 613 commandments in the Mosaic Law. And you know what Paul said? If you break one of them, you broke them all. So I break 613 commandments pretty much all through the day. So that's the enemy that is against me. That's the enemy. Even the law containing ordinances. And that he might, verse 16, reconcile, bring into a relationship both unto God in one body. Now we're talking about the beautiful body of the church, Jew and Gentile. Everybody comes into the body of Christ in the church by the cross. Would you say that again? By the cross. Not by good works. Not by going to church. But by the cross. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, the enemy, me breaking the commandment. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So when I receive the blood in the body of Jesus Christ, what he did for me on the cross, at the moment of salvation, I receive the Holy Spirit and I have access with Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. So when I'm partaking of the Lord's Supper and I drink that cup and I take of that bread, I'm telling the world that I went through the cross and I'm in a personal relationship with Jesus. That's why a lost person shouldn't partake of it. When I was a child, it would pass me by. My dad, my mom, I didn't understand all that was going on, but we didn't have children's church back in the 60s. We were taught to sit still, not move, not breathe. It was a great way to come up. I learned discipline. I learned to have a solidly long attention span. I learned how to study. I learned how to do what's best. I never walked into a classroom and asked a teacher, why do we have to do it? If the teacher said do it, I did it. For 16 years, I did it. I tried to do my best at everything I ever did. I didn't just try to sneak by. I didn't ever take the attitude, I'll never use this in life. I figured people knew more than I did at 15, 16, 18. But my parents, my dad would put his hand and say, so I wouldn't partake of it. So I want you to understand, a lost person is not to partake of the Lord's Supper. Even as a child. You are to be a baptized believer in Jesus Christ, and I'll show you why in a moment, because it's a public ordinance. But notice what he says in Ephesians. Through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So the cross moves us from one place to another. Now it moved me from being dead under the penalty of my sins, and he hath made me alive together with him, having forgiven all of my trespasses. All of my trespasses, past, present, and future, have been forgiven, and he has blotted out the handwriting of the ordinance of the commandments that I have broken, that was against me, that was contrary to me, that was bringing God's judgment upon them, and he took them out of the way between me and God, and he nailed them to his cross.
Amen.
Is that not glorious?
Yeah.
So I want you to understand, because of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, there is nothing between me and God right now as according to my salvation. Now I can have daily sin that causes me to have a break in my close communion with God,
But as far as my status, my state as being made righteous by Jesus Christ, I am righteous forevermore because Cleo, he took my sins out of my way, out of my account, and nailed them to Jesus on the cross. Yes, thank you, Lord. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you took my sins upon that cross. So today we are studying the blood of his cross and the body of his death. So, look at what the scripture says. Colossians 1, verse 14. Says this. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Now, redemption means this. It means to be bought back. It means to have a ransom paid. It means to have a cost. It means to be bought with a price. So I want you to understand something. I want you to understand that your soul is worth a price. Your soul is worth a cost. Your eternal destiny is worth something. It's not worth $1 million. It's not worth $1 billion. It's not worth gold and silver. All right, I want you to understand that. That's not all the money in the world. Cannot pay for your soul to be bought out of sin and condemnation and judgment and be transported into the righteousness of God, into a saved condition, and into an eternal destiny in heaven. Yeah. You know, even if I had $500,000 to get my two daughters into the University of Southern California, I cannot spend $500 million to get my soul into heaven. So what's the cost? What's the price? What's the ransom that has to be paid for my soul? Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. There's not enough money. There's not enough good works. There's not enough choir robes. There's not enough suits to get me into heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 says, I want you to know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things. You were not paid for. You were not ransomed from the devil. Your debt was not paid by money, by silver, by gold, from your terrible, vain, and prideful behavior received by the tradition of your fallen human nature and your religious fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The only amount that could, the only commodity that could pay for my soul to come out of hell and get transported into heaven is the precious and valuable blood of Jesus Christ. So when you take the cup today, you're thanking Jesus for paying that price with his own blood. With his own blood. Go with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. People will say, you know, I can't even watch a movie where they crucify the Lord. I wish the Lord had never been crucified. It just hurts me to see the Lord crucified. And it hurts me too, because it hurts me because I'm the reason he's crucified. It was my sin that was on him. It's such a personal, personal thing. But I want you to understand, the good Lord, he understood and he knew. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, he says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And the Son of Man, Jesus, came to Bethlehem to live a perfect life, to give his life a ransom for men. So he paid my ransom. I was being held captive by the devil, having to pay for my sins. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I pray this prayer every morning when I get up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are no longer your own? Well, Brother Leo, I want to be my own. I want to call my shots. Well, if you're a Christian, my friend, you are no longer your own because you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And what is the price you are bought with? You were bought with the very life and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And I get up every morning and I tell the Lord, Lord, you know who I am? And the Lord says, yeah, I know who you are. Do you know who you are? And I say, yeah, Lord, I am part of the blood-bought redeemed. I am part of your church. You have purchased me with your own blood. I am no longer my own. You are the Lord, the God, the King, and the authority over my life today. You are bought with a price. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The blood is what saves us here on earth. He shed his blood so that I could receive forgiveness of sin. In Revelation chapter 1, John is writing a letter to the seven churches which are in Asia. And in verse 5 of Revelation 1, the letter is from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness of God on earth. He is the first begotten that ever rose from the dead and never died again. He is the prince of the kings of the earth. And one day he'll reign in Jerusalem as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for 1,000 years. And this letter is from him, but we say unto him that loved us and he washed us from our sins in his own blood. So understand, in the life to come, we are going to be aware that we're in heaven simply because of the blood of Christ. Now let me show you something else. Go with me to Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5, the Lamb of God, in verse 8, that was slain but is now alive. In verse 8, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each every one having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. My friend, every prayer you prayed for Jason and his family, every prayer you pray for Jeannie Hunt, every prayer you pray goes to heaven, and it's kept at the throne of God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And you know, that's going to be part of the, I believe, the wood, hay, and stubble and the gold, silver, and precious stones. I believe we're going to get up there and you're going to see some little old lady that you never thought that much of, that maybe didn't have the health to go to church. And you're going to see somebody like me up there and say, old Brother Leo, you know, he preached every Sunday. But you're going to see her vials open and there are going to be thousands and thousands of prayers. And mine will look minuscule beside her because she's a true prayer warrior. And so what I want you to understand, my friend, your prayers or your lack thereof are recorded in glory. And that proves it. The prayers of the saints. But notice what it says. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people. And that you have redeemed us to God. You have ransomed us to God. You have saved us to God. You have paid the price to get us out of the kingdom of darkness here into heaven by your precious blood. And notice what that is. That's a song. What does it say? They sung a new song. You know what we're going to sing in heaven? Nothing but the blood. We're going to come together and sing nothing but the blood. We're going to sing, I am here just because of the blood. Is that not glorious? You know, I was thinking about that this week. You know, we sing songs today about heaven. And we sing songs today about the future. And we sing songs today about our salvation. But one day we're going to be singing in heaven about why we're in heaven.
Yeah, amen.
And we're going to sing, you have redeemed us by your blood. So when you partake of this cup, my friend, you are partaking in an ordinance that is everlasting. The blood of Jesus has saved me, has bought me. He will keep me. and by the body of his flesh through death on the cross. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Now the blood cleanses me of my sin, because there must be sacrifice. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, you're familiar with this verse. When you partake of this bread today, you will be reminded and you will thank the Lord. This is a thanksgiving ordinance. Verse 24, who his own self, 1 Peter 2, his own self bore my sins in his own body on the tree. That when he was on that cross, my sins were on his body. Go with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Peter is quoting Isaiah 53 here. And in Isaiah 53, verse 4, this has part of the curse included that we've been teaching. Surely he hath borne my grief and carried my sorrow. Isaiah 53, 4. He bore that crown of thorns. He took my punishment. He experienced my torment. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my sins and transgressions. He was bruised for my sins and iniquity. The chastisement, the judgment, the wrath, and the condemnation of my peace that I had lost was upon him. But by the stripes and the buffeting and the torment and the agony that the Lord went through, I got saved and healed of my iniquity. All we like sheep have gone astray. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all turn to our own way. But the Lord God laid on him the iniquity of all of us on his body on the cross. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. That's God the Father. Saw what the Lord went through for Leo Doyle. He saw that he paid his sin debt in full. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. For he bore my sin and iniquity. And when I take of that little piece of bread, it represents the multitude of all my sins being upon the Lord. And when we do it together, it represents the multitude of all our sins. It's what we have in common. We all have in common what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. That we have received the finished work of Christ on the cross. And that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And we are baptized believers in Jesus Christ. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10,
I'm sorry.
Hey, I figured that was the Lord saying go back to Isaiah 53, so we're going to do it, Christy. What's the name of that? That's Scobie, right? Alexander Scobie narrating now.
Yes.
See, I'm a smart guy, Christy. All right. I used to listen to him do that on the radio. Billy Graham station out of Black Mountain, North Carolina, used to play that a lot. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 says this. Wherefore, when he came into the world, all right, that's Jesus. He said, sacrifice and offering you no longer desire. He's talking about the Old Testament sacrifice and offering. And look at what he said. A body has thou prepared for me. A body has thou prepared for me. Go with me to chapter 2 of Hebrews verse 14. Chapter 2 of Hebrews verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So what I want you to understand, he had a real natural body, a human body, a human life. Jesus Christ was fully God and fully human, and it took a human body, not the body of a bull, not the body of a goat, not the body of a lamb, but a human body to pay my sin debt in full. Now, Brother Leo, what do you mean by that? Well, let me show you. Look at Hebrews 10 again. In Hebrews 10 verse 1, it said the law was a shadow are a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming to die for our sin. And the sacrifices of the law could never year by year perfect us and pay our sin debt in full. So they had to keep coming back year after year after year. And in verse 3 it says, in all those Old Testament sacrifices, there is remembrance again over and over of sins every year on the Day of Atonement. They had to keep having. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats can take away the sin penalty completely and forever. But I want you to understand verse 12. But this man, when he came with his body, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forevermore, sat down on the right hand of God. It is the finished work of God. He's not going to come back and get crucified again. Understand, these are Hebrews. These are Jews. They didn't understand. They're coming out of the law. Look at what it says in verse 14. For by his one offering of his one body and his one life on the cross, he hath perfected forever those that are saved and sanctified by accepting what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Verse 18. Now where remission of these sins is, there is going to be no more offering for sin. So I cannot lose my salvation. Amen. Now if I was saved, Cameron, by the blood of bulls and goats, I could lose it. But I'm saved by the blood and the life of Jesus Christ. So when you partake of that bread, well, let me show you. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Betty will close in this part of it. And if you can, we will sing unto Jesus here in a moment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 18. Paul says this, for first of all, when you come together in the church, would you say that with me? When you come together in the church, would you say it again? When you come together in the church. There are two public ordinances in the New Testament. Everybody that got baptized publicly on the day of Pentecost and all after that. And then when you come together in the church, you publicly participate in the Lord's Supper. He says, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Now, why is this so important that there be not divisions when you participate in the Lord's Supper? Well, come down here. In verse 24, when the Lord gave thanks, he broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup and said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death until he comes.
Now, we're not only acknowledging our faith in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We're acknowledging our unity in the Spirit. Because you see, we now are the body of Christ. When you come together as the body of Christ, and we carry that on in the face of the earth. We're in 1 Corinthians, so just jump to verse 11. Let's see. No, I've got that somewhere else. 1 Corinthians 12. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 and look at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." So there's not to be divisions among you, there's to be unity in the body. So I'm acknowledging not only that Christ is my Savior, but that you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we do it together, and it brings us closer. And we're showing and proclaiming the Lord's death, that we believe in what Jesus did for us on the cross. That it was my sin, my judgment, my wrath, all that I face until he returns, and that we believe and know I'm saved right now and I'm going to be saved when he comes back.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now, people that don't believe that, when they partake of the Lord's Supper, who are you talking about, Brother Leo? I'm talking about 70% of the religions in the world.
Yeah.
That tell you can lose your salvation.
So
how in the world are they going to be assured? How are they proclaiming his return when they don't even know if they'll be a child of God when he returns? So when you partake of the Lord's Supper, you're saying, "I know that I know Jesus Christ saved me on the cross, and I know that I know he's coming back to get me." With assurance and faith. We praise God for the body of Christ. When I see the Lord on the cross, mangled and all that he went through. But how beautiful. What did the scripture say that we read? He loved us and shed his blood for us. Washed us from our sins. And then when I look out at all of you, and I think of all the Christians I've known all my life, and some already with Jesus, how beautiful is that body of Christ. Miss Betty's going to come forward, and she's going to sing a song unto the Lord.